Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and David Levy's back. Hi, David.
Hey, Donald. Hey, listeners.
David, as you know, if you've been listening, likes to come back and do show tune covers for us. He's done previously like covers of operetta songs and covers of Sondheim songs. And I don't remember what the last one was.
I think we did 50s. Specifically songs from Broadway musicals of the 50s.
Yeah. I remember one time you did like country music covers of show tunes, which was really fun. This time you are focusing on covers of show tunes from flop musicals. I think we're actually going to do two of these shows, right?
That's the plan. Okay. We may have done a flop one in the past as well, but this specifically, I have been rereading Not Since Carrie.
Ah. And
whenever I read a book about musicals, I always go to Spotify or Apple Music and see if anyone has put together a playlist of songs mentioned in the book. And I was shocked to discover that no one had done this for Not Since Carrie. And then I realized, well, the nature of a book about flops is that a lot of these shows don't have cast recordings. But I decided to make that playlist for myself as I read. And I found it's about half and half of shows that have cast recordings. And for those that don't, almost all of them have at least one pop cover out there. Mm-hmm. And it's a long book and it's a long project. So I'm only about halfway through. So this episode today is going to focus on shows mentioned in the first half of the book, which means it's a lot of shows from the 50s and 60s, although not exclusively. And when I first mentioned this to Donald, he was like, well, throw in a couple songs that people know. So I think it's a good mix of songs that, are really only for like aficionados and songs that even the casual listener of the Broadway Radio Show will have some familiarity with, but hopefully maybe at least a version that you haven't heard before. With that in mind, I really wanted to start us off with a couple of familiar songs so that people didn't feel like we're diving into the deep end.
No, that's well, and I like the songs you picked. I mean, there are definitely some you're going to be familiar with. As long as you have some, at least some broad knowledge of some show tunes. The first two are obviously probably the most familiar of the songs we're going to hear.
I think there are a couple more later on.
There's a couple more later on, yeah.
Yeah. The first one especially, I think, is a song that makes the show it comes from sound like a hit. And I knew this pop version before, and it's Once Upon a Time from All American, which was a Strauss and Adams show. And Ray Bolger sang it in the show. And weirdly, he doesn't really sing it. He kind of talks it. Mm-hmm. And so I only knew the pop versions for years before I ever heard the cast album. When I got the cast recording, I was like, wow, did they miss an opportunity here?
Yeah.
But we're going to hear Tony Bennett's version, which comes off of his hit album, I Left My Heart in San Francisco. And it really sounds like a hit song from a hit show. And it in some ways, this song has become something of a standard on the strength of this recording. And then we're going to pair it with Hey, Look Me Over from Wildcat, which is another song that sounds like it's from a hit. And Wildcat probably could have been a hit if the circumstances were different. It was a Lucille Ball vehicle written by Cy Coleman and Carolyn Lee, and Lucy was not really up to the task, and it was the first Broadway outing for Coleman and Lee together. And, I think if it had come a little later in their career, if they had like a Carol Burnett instead of a Lucille Ball, it would have been a different situation. But Hey, Look Me Over, big hit. The song's been covered millions of times. It's the fight song for some Midwestern football team. Don't ask me which, I don't know.
It's a song that people will know even without the lyrics.
Yes. One of the most famous covers is just Dinah Shore kind of like humming it without singing the lyrics. But that's not the one we're going to hear today. We're going to hear a British singer named Ronnie Hilton with the Michael Sam Singers backing him up. Ronnie's an interesting guy. He, in the late 50s, was one of the biggest singers in the UK, but really only had a career in singles. He didn't really have albums. He was like right on the cusp of when 78s were giving way to 45s and like was sort of on the leading edge of that. And interestingly, his biggest hit, which we're not going to hear today, was also a cover of a song from a flop, which was No Other Love from Me and Juliet. So if you like his version of Hey, Look Me Over, we'll look him up on Spotify.
Oh, and I love No Other Love. That's like one of my favorite Rodgers and Hammerstein songs from like a flop musical.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here is Once Upon a Time and Hey, Look Me Over.
Once upon a time, a girl with moonlight in her eyes put her hand in mine and said she loved me so. But that was once upon a time, very long ago. Once upon a time, we sat beneath a willow tree, counting all the stars and waiting for the dawn. But that was once upon a time. Now the tree is gone. How the breeze ruffled up her hair. How we always laughed as though tomorrow wasn't there. We were young and didn't have a care. Where did it go? Once upon a time, the world was sweeter than we knew. Everything was ours. How happy we were then. But somehow once upon a time, never comes again.
Over, lend me an ear, fresh out of clover, mortgage up to here. Don't pass the plate, folks, and don't pass the cup. I figure whenever you're down and out, the only way is up, and I'll be up like a rosebud high on the vine. Don't thumb your nose, but take a tip from mine. I'm a little bit short of the elbow room, so let me get me some, and look out, world, here I come.
Look me over, lend me an ear. Fresh out of clover, mortgage up to here. Don't pass the plate, folks, don't pass the cup. I figure whenever you're down and out, the only way is up, and I'll be up like a rosebud high on the vine. Don't thumb your nose, but take a tip from mine. I'm a little bit short of the elbow room, so let me get me some, and look out, world, here I come. Nobody in the world was ever without a prayer. How can you win the world if nobody knows you're there? You need the crowd, the tickets are hard to sell. Still you can lead the crowd if you can get up and yell. Hey, look me over, lay me an air. Fresh out of clover,
mortgaged up to here. I'm a little bit short of the elbow room, so let me get me some. And look outward, hear me shout word. And look outward, here I come.
And I totally agree with you about Once Upon a Time, because I was familiar with it the same way you were. I don't know if I was familiar with it from the Tony Bennett version we just heard, but I was familiar with it from one of the covers. And I thought to myself, this is such a gorgeous song. I mean, the melody's beautiful, the lyrics are great, and it's Strauss and Adams right after Bye Bye Birdie. So, I mean, they were expecting another hit. But when I got the cast recording and heard the Ray Bolger version, I was like, oh my God, this is like terrible. I mean, it's like, it's just not a good, it doesn't do the song justice at all.
Yeah.
On the cast recording. Because you're right, he's like barely singing the song. And it's just not a good version of the song on the album. So you can see how you can lift a relatively mediocre version of a song and turn it into something wonderful when you do a cover.
Yeah. And I think one of the songs that we're going to hear next, I think, fits into that same category. But before we get to that one, Skyscraper was a show written by Frank Sinatra's favorite composer lyricist team, Jimmy Van Heusen and Sammy Kahn. And I think it shows because it has a lot of songs that as standalone songs sound like great pop hits, and they're attached to a script that was sort of all over the place. It was very episodic and the songs didn't really fit in. And it was a Julie Harris musical, and Julie wasn't necessarily known for her singing talent. Mm-hmm. As a show, it didn't go very far, but on the strength of kind of Van Heusen, a lot of pop stars ran to cover the songs before the cast album came out. And the biggest hit, I think, from it was a song called Everybody Has the Right to Be Wrong, which Sinatra himself recorded and had a great version of, and Bobby Darin recorded it. But we're going to hear Peggy Lee's version from an album called That Was Then, Now Is Now. Sorry, Then Was Then, Now Is Now. And I love it because it has a little bit of that Latin cha-cha rhythm to it that Peggy did to a lot of her songs, even though it's not from one of her like Latin albums.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to pair that with a song from that Sinatra album that had Everybody Has the Right to Be Wrong, which is an album called My Kind of Broadway, which when I was younger, I found this album very frustrating because Sinatra's Kind of Broadway is songs from his flops. Like it's all, almost every song in the album is super obscure. And we're going to hear Golden Moment, which is, I think, again, as Sinatra sings it, sounds like a great hit Sinatra ballad, but it's from a show called Hot September, which didn't even make it to Broadway, closed out of town in Boston. It was a musical version of Picnic. And if you've ever seen Picnic and you're thinking, who had the idea to make a musical out of that? Well, that's why you've never heard of Hot September.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a notorious flop musical. So here are Peggy Lee and Frank Sinatra with a couple of covers from flop musicals.
Everybody has the right to be wrong. At least once. Everybody has the right to be dunce-like. Once-like. Not being too smart is no disgrace. What sets you apart is smiling with egg on your face. It's naive to make believe that you're right. It's not bright. Only fools go walking on thin ice. Twice. You and life can skip the stripe and you both get along. All it takes is simply saying you're wrong when you're wrong. And everybody has the right to be wrong. You and life can skip the strife and you both get along. All it takes is simply saying you're wrong when you're wrong. Everybody has
moment you sigh and it flies away, and then in the silent September you dream of the music of May. You're young for a shining hour, but soon it's remember when. Take hold of that golden moment, for once it's gone, it never comes back again. Once it's gone, it never comes back. You cry, still it won't come back. It's gone and never comes back.
Those are two really, I had not heard that Golden Moment song before. That's the first time I've heard that one.
Oh, you should check out that album, especially if you like more obscure show tunes.
Yeah.
The album can be a little bit ballad heavy, but it's just an interesting snapshot into, like, you know, the mid 60s mm-hmm. moment when everything was aimed at Broadway and everyone was recording those songs and many of those shows never made it.
God, that's very interesting. I definitely want to check that out. So we're going to move on to a specific composer next, right?
Yes. And the bridge here is we're going to go to another show that closed out of town. And that is Frank Lesser's Pleasures and Palaces. And I stumbled on this song. I don't remember how I guess when I was reading Knott's and Scarry, I just like typed the names of every show into the search bars to see what came up. And I had no idea that there were commercial recordings of songs from the score. And it turns out that Lena Horne did a cover of the title song from Pleasures and Palaces, and it is a banger. And like, I don't really know anything about this show. It closed in Detroit. I know that it was written by Lesser with Sam Spiewak, who I think of as the guy from Kiss Me, Kate. I didn't know he did other musicals. This is an adaptation of one of his plays called Once There Was a Russian, which I think itself was not particularly successful. Mm-hmm. But this song is great. And so often the case with flop musicals, like musicals can flop for all sorts of reasons. And that doesn't mean that every bit of them is bad.
Right.
And of course, even a terrible song in Lena Horne's mouth is going to sound outstanding. but I wanted to pair this with what I think of as a more familiar Lesser song, although it's also from a flop. And that's the song Never Will I Marry from Green Willow, which I think it's more familiar because Judy Garland used to perform it in her live act, and she recorded it a number of times. And I was surprised to find a much more recent recording. I mean, more recent is a relative term.
Yeah, relative.
This is from the 80s, but it's, you know, yes. for a pop singer in the 80s to record a flop show tune from the 60s,
right,
feels, you know, notable. So
on this CD.
Oh, you have it.
I actually have the CD, yes.
Well, why don't you talk about it?
No, well, it's from the era when, which was actually kind of kickstarted. People credit Linda Ronstadt with this kind of move to doing standards, because she, you know, she released What's New and with the Nelson Riddle Orchestra and did standards, but she actually was preceded by someone who we're going to hear in the next set. Actually, I'm not going to talk about it, because somebody who actually did it before Linda Ronstadt, but Sheena Easton did it also, because a lot of pop stars in that time period also kind of jumped on the bandwagon, and Sheena Easton did an album called No Strings, which she did standards, because Sheena Easton can sing.
Yeah.
I mean, and she did a whole album called No Strings, and she recorded Never Will I Marry by Frank Lesser.
And, you know, in retrospect, like, I love the Sheena Easton song Morning Train. Mm-hmm. And that part of the reason I love it is it kind of sounds like a show tune, even though it's a pop song.
Right.
So it makes sense that she would like this kind of music and that her voice would blend so well with it. So I just think this is a delight.
Yep. So let's hear Lena and Sheena doing show tunes.
That was not on purpose.
Not on purpose.
I was made for chic and sheer negligees, cream on my caviar, sable rugs wall to wall, and my prince lying there drinking wine from my slipper, drenched in gold from a 1,000 candelabra above. Ah, yes, pleasures and palaces are what I really do love. Fresh rose leaves in my bath, string quartet while I dress, silken gloves made in France for my prince to remove, velvet couch in the gardens just in case during all this moonlight madness might strike. Ah, yes, pleasures and palaces are what I very much like. With mornings for slumber and evenings for splendor and nights for the making of.
Thank you. So we just heard Lena Horne doing the title song from Pleasures and Palaces, and Sheena Easton doing Never Will I Marry from Green Willow. And next up, we have another two contemporary singers, one of whom I kind of referenced a little bit, and that is who?
That is Carly Simon.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things I take for granted that your listeners know, but it's probably worth saying out loud, is that a lot of these recordings came about because when a show was coming to Broadway and it had a record deal in place, that record label would often then go to their pop singers and try to get them to record songs from the show as a way to help kind of boost the cast recording. And that's that's why you ended up with Sinatra singing from Skyscraper or what have you. So in this case, this is one of the later examples of that, because when Merrily We Roll Along was headed to Broadway, they somehow managed to get a handful of pop singers, including Sinatra and Carly Simon, to record singles from the show. And Carly's ended up on an album called Torch. And so that probably gives away which song it's going to be, which is Not a Day Goes By. And it's just, it is the first cover version of this song that has gone on to become a standard and recorded by lots and lots and lots of people. And it's just, it's really lovely. And she's got just the perfect voice for it. And it's a very straightforward, but very good arrangement. And
right. And Torch, wonderful. And Torch was, again, an album full of standards, but by Carly Simon, which preceded, as I said, preceded the Linda Ronstadt jumping into that. Linda's was with a bigger orchestra with Nelson Riddle, but Carly kind of did it first because she did a whole album of standards in a kind of a smoky, jazzy kind of style.
And it's so funny that that had to become a trend because, you know, a generation before, like all of the pop singers from the 60s, this kind of material was just part of what they were doing.
Right.
Mixed in with the rock and roll songs, you know, that when you look at like a Dionne Warwick or Aretha Franklin or whoever. And so it you know, by this time in the 80s, when that was no longer part of like the general kind of material they were doing, they had to make a special effort to.
And when they did, it had to be like an album of just that. It was like they didn't usually, unless it was somebody like Streisand or somebody who had a long history of doing it. But your current contemporary pop stars from the 80s never did that unless they dedicated an entire album to just that. And that's, you know, that's all they did.
And then the other song we're going to pair that with is extremely recent. It's from 2023. And this is Rufus Wainwright, who has always had an affinity for this kind of material. You know, he's done a couple of albums of Judy Garland material. But this is not a Judy Garland song. It is a Jerry Herman song, and it's the title song from Dear World. And I think, as far as I can tell, I think he was just sort of inspired to record this because the world needed it. Like, he was looking around at the shit show that is our world and feeling like he needed to inject a little bit of Jerry Herman optimism into the moment. And so released a single of himself singing a pretty straightforward version of Dear World. And it's great.
So here are Carly Simon and Rufus Wainwright.
Not a single day, but you're somewhere a part of my life, and it looks like you'll stay as the days go by. I keep thinking, when does it end? Where's the day I have started forgetting? But I just go on thinking and sweating and cursing and crying and turning and reaching and waking and dying. And no, not a day goes by, not a you day after day after day after day till the days go by. Till the days go by. Till the days go by. Till the days go by.
Someone has wounded you, dear world. Someone has poisoned you, dear world. And those who love you defiantly insist that you get off that critical list. So make your recovery quick, world. We're sick of having a sick world. We want you dancing tomorrow afternoon. So be a dear world. Take your medicine, dear world. Keep your pressure down, dear world. And get well soon. Recovery quick, world. We're sick of having a sick world. We want you dancing tomorrow afternoon. So be a dear world. Take your medicine, dear world. Keep your courage up, dear world. And get well soon.
Well, David Levy's with us doing covers from flop musicals, inspired by the book Not Since Carrie. And he is going to be back again very soon with another version of this as well. He's going to tackle some more of the
part two.
With a part two of this. But right now we're moving on to a set of three songs. And this might be my favorite set of these, because this is a wonderful collection of three terrific singers. Girl singers. And who do we have coming up?
So this set is a set of songs by composer Moose Charlip, who these days I think is mostly remembered as the guy who wrote half of Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And he only wrote half of it because when they had trouble on the road, they brought in Julie Stein and Common and Green to augment the score, which, you know, certainly it needed. But not because the songs that he already wrote weren't good. And, you know, some of your favorite songs from Peter Pan were written by him. But he had a pretty spotty track record otherwise. And we're going to hear three songs from three different flop shows that he wrote. The first is from a show called The Conquering Hero, which I think is mostly remembered. That's, I'm going to say this, and you're going to correct me if I'm wrong.
But
I believe that's the one that... closed out of town, but not before Bob Fosse got the chance to try to rework it.
Oh, right.
That was one of his first opportunities to step into the director's chair.
Yeah, I think that's right.
This song, actually, interestingly enough, was not written originally for The Conquering Hero. It was written for a movie called Rhythm Inn, and then added to The Conquering Hero, and then dropped from The Conquering Hero. But I think it counts anyway. It's called Past the Age of Innocence, and it's by jazz singer Chris Connor. And I believe this was, again, released as a single, never included on an album. We're going to follow that with Love Eyes from Whoop Up, which these days is mostly remembered because the cast recording was issued and then deleted very quickly, not once, but twice, first on vinyl and then on CD. And so twice it became one of those like objects of desire for collectors who missed it And when they put it out on CD, they included this huge appendix of pop singers covering songs from the score. So that's how I encountered this recording, which again was issued as a single. And it's Connie Francis singing Love Eyes, which, you know, again, Whoop Up is a show that when you read about like the plot synopsis, sounds like a disaster. When you listen to the score, it sounds like a disaster, but there are a bunch of really good songs mixed in.
Right.
And then speaking of disasters, the most notorious Moose Charlotte flop was a show called Kelly, which was about a guy who famously jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge. It lasted one performance on Broadway.
Right.
And I think in the way that people of my generation think of the show Carrie, people of maybe a generation younger than me think of Seussical. I don't know what the most contemporary like disaster flop is. But Kelly for a long time was like the flop of flops.
Yeah.
But this song is called I'll Never Go There Anymore. And it's performed here by Michelle Lee. And it's from an album of hers called A Taste of the Fantastic Michelle Lee. And it's great. It's listen, I don't think this is quite the banger of something like Pleasures and Palaces, but it's a very lovely song. And I love Michelle Lee. So, you know, she certainly elevates it. And I should just add, the first two songs have lyrics by Norman Gimbel. Kelly had lyrics by Eddie Lawrence.
So here they are, Chris Connor, Connie Francis, and Michelle Lee.
Don't smile and pass me by. I'm not a child of three. It takes no sage to see I'm past the age of innocence. You may still picture me upon my father's knee, but if you look, you'll see I'm past the age of innocence. I've grown some, and like most grown-ups, I'm lonesome and ready or not. Said it, now I'm done. The rest is up to you. What can a lady do but wish and wait for fate to see? What can a lady do but wish and wait for fate to see her
skin. Love eyes, you're all there, there are them leaves. gaze betrays that you're no saint. But boy, I like you for the saint you ain't. You don't need love talk to work a woman up. Your eyes do it for you, and they're making me adore you. Love eyes, I want you. You and them Levi's. My lipstick's wet and waiting for your smear. Hey, love, I stop your staring and come on here.
Anymore.
So we are now moving to some instrumentals, right?
Yes. And that's the only thing that ties these three together. But they're, I think, a lot of fun. And they're three very different styles of instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
So the first is a song called You Gotta Taste All the Fruit from Something More. But if this sounds familiar to you, it might be because Mae West ended up recording it later on in the on the soundtrack to the film Myra Breckinridge.
Oh, okay.
So where it sounds a little bit different. but this recording is by a band leader called Leroy Holmes. And I actually had a hard time tracking down where the song originally was released, if it was a single, if it was on an album. I just don't know. But in the 90s and 2000s, there was a series of CDs called Ultra Lounge during the Exotica craze.
Right.
Which collected instrumental, mostly, although not exclusively, songs that were tied together mostly by sort of like outrageous arrangements. I don't know how else to describe it. And you'll understand what I mean when you hear this, because it's just sort of lousy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hear this and you understand why Mae West was attached to it. And incidentally, this song also was cut from Something More, so didn't even make it into the show. But it did, you know, eventually see light of day in Myra Breckinridge. Leroy Holmes was a house arranger and conductor at MGM in the 50s and later at UA. So he worked with folks like Judy Garland on some of her later films. And had, you know, a bit of a recording career on his own in the 50s and 60s when, you know, instrumental band leaders could put out lots of albums and mm-hmm. people bought them. And I just don't understand the music business then compared to today.
Got it.
After that, a song that I think the song is not so familiar, but I think the show is a little more familiar likely to your listeners because it's a little more notorious. That's the song Lolita from Lolita My Love by John Barry and Ellen J. Lerner. And this is from a jazz guitarist named Charlie Bird. And he's really interesting because he brings sort of classical guitar technique to jazz music, which made him sort of stand out in this era. He's also one of the people credited with bringing Brazilian music to America, although I think you may hear a little bit of that influence here, but I don't think it's super strong in this song. But it's a lovely sort of jazz instrumental, which makes sense. John Barry, great jazz composer.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, you know, I love me a Rodgers and Hammerstein flop. And for whatever reason, Pipe Dream is the gift that keeps on giving when we give these cover shows. And today we're going to hear All I Want You Love Her, arranged for 8 trombones. and this is from an album called J&K Plus 6. And it was 2 star trombonists, J.J. Johnson and Kay Winding. J.J. Johnson was known for bebop jazz, Kay Winding for more traditional jazz. They had very successful careers on their own, but then also teamed up in the 50s and 60s and occasionally reteamed all the way up until Kay's death in the 80s. And so it's just, listen, how often you get to hear 8 trombones playing together?
Only here.
Yeah, it's a unique radio sound, but it's lovely and it's great. Uh-huh. And this is, you know, listen, Rodgers and Hammerstein, doesn't matter how bad the show is, their ballads are still top notch. And
of course.
No exception.
Well, it's Richard Rodgers. You can't go wrong with Richard Rodgers. Even if it's just trombones, you can't go wrong with Drew Rodgers. So here they are. Here's 3 instrumentals as we are doing covers of Broadway flops.
Thank you.
And next up, we have pretty much an all-star lineup, right?
Yeah. So this group is singers you've heard of.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to start with Vic Damone. And he brings us a Bob Merrill song from notorious flop Breakfast at Tiffany's. And this is a song called You've Never Kissed Her, which so interestingly, You've Never Kissed Her is one of those songs that did get a few pop covers. And also, Vic Damone recorded a few different songs from Breakfast at Tiffany's. So you can see they were really betting on this show to be anything other than what it was.
Right.
We're going to follow that with Andy Williams. And, you know, This one I picked mostly because I think it's such a bad mismatch of song and singer. And
like, yeah, listen, it sure is.
Andy Williams is a particular kind of singer, and some people love him and some people don't. A lot of people only know him from his Christmas music. You know, but he was a crooner. His, you know, biggest hit was probably the title song from Born Free. And this is actually included on the album Born Free, but it's the title song from Sherry. Andy Williams, a lot of things, but like a comedian, he was not. And Sherry is a song that really requires at least a wink in your eye. And I don't think he quite gets it. But, you know, it's fun to hear another recording of the song. Again, a song that got covered a number of times for a show that did not even produce a cast recording.
Right.
And the third one, in fact, these are all three shows that did not produce cast recordings, though Tiffany's and Sherry eventually got studio cast recordings. This one, not even that. It's a show called Copper and Brass, which was a show that played for 1 month in 1957 and is extremely forgotten now, but was a Nancy Walker vehicle, also starring Dave Venuta. And this song called The Cool Credo is Sammy Davis Jr. And again, he makes it sound like a hit. It was not a hit.
No. No. None of these shows were hits at all. But like you said, I mean, these very famous, big-selling artists were covering these songs because, you know, the record labels were interested. And sometimes the record labels were interested, but they didn't end up going ahead and doing the cast recordings ultimately.
Right. So Breakfast at Tiffany's and Sherry both had deals in place for recording. Right. And those recordings even like had advertisements and playbill.
Right.
And then they got canceled when the shows flopped.
Right. So here are Vic Damone, Andy Williams, and Sammy Davis Jr.
You've never kissed her, but if you had, you would agree with me, her kiss can drive a man mad. You've never kissed her, never been tossed between her worlds of sudden summer and frost. Tell me then, mister, till you've been there, what do you know of heaven's heights or dark despair? You've never kissed her. Drive a man mad.
You never kissed her, never been taught.
Between her worlds of sudden summer and frost. Tell me then, mister, till you've been there, what do you know of heaven's heights or dark despair?
Neither have I. happiness, Sherry. You fill it up with happiness. You make this life a glorious game. The sound of your name can set me aflame with gay anticipation, Sherry. You make me feel deliciously merry and oh so high. I swear champagne is overrated. I'm just plain intoxicated, Sherry. Sherry, you're grand and undefeatable. You fill this world with tingle and zing. Each morning it's spring, and I'm on a swing while robins wing around me, Sherry. You make me feel delectably merry. So high, I doubt that I will be descending till I see my happy ending, Sherry.
I want all you cool cats to come up real close because I'm going to lay the cool credo on you. And all you cats with your hi-fis, man, you better stand 10 feet back. Crazy cats make rockets that fly, screaming through Mars, cutting up sky. Cloud hoppers made to break through sound. The same kind of new sound we're blowing. Ho! Look at them jets. Psst! Conquering space. Oh! Flirting with stars. Get no place. We're making harmony as cool. If you want your jazz cool, we'll blow it. We'll blow it soft. We'll blow it sweet. Easy on the ears, breezy on the feet. We dig it down the line with modern design. Oops. Sit yourself down and open your mind. Lean yourself back, baby, you'll find this crazy beat makes you feel good. When music is real good, you'll dig it. Then we rock it. Blow it soft and sweet and easy with a breezy beat. Down the line with modern design. Sit yourself down and open your mind and lean yourself back. Baby, you'll find
this crazy beat makes you feel good. When music is real good, you gotta dig it. When we rock it, oh, it's soft and sweet and easy with a breezy beat.
And next up, we have a cover that is very near and dear to David's heart, right?
Yeah, well, so this is one that I as we were trying to group things together, I was like, this doesn't really fit in with anything else. I just really like it. Because it's goofy and it's fun. And it's oddly a song that has been recorded a ton of times for a show.
Is it really?
People really don't remember. Yeah.
No.
So this is from a Don Ameche vehicle called 13 Daughters, which was a show about Hawaii and about it's sort of a retelling of a legend of a family that had 13 daughters and they needed to marry them off in order. And there was like a magical tree of some sort. I don't know the whole deal. It flopped pretty quickly on Broadway, but then had a second life in Honolulu. And in fact, the Honolulu production did produce a cast recording. And it's been revived in Hawaii at least once or twice since then. But this song is called Puka Puka Pants, and it's basically a novelty song. And I forgot to even look up anything about this group that recorded it, but we're going to hear a recording by Buddy Foe and his group.
So here is Puka Puka Pants.
Never cared for stylish clothes, send them back to France. Give me a coconut hat on the side of my head and my puka puka pants. Strum my ukulele, boy, wanna see me dance. Give me a note and I'll sing a ring-a-ding-ding ding in my puka puka pants. I like to spend my day the island way, just having fun. And where I go, I say hello to everyone. Gonna stay the picnic type, never mind the ants. With my shirt tail flapping in the breeze and my puka puka, puka puka puka, puka 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 pants. With a torso like mine, I can get along fine in my puka puka pants. He's inclined to shy away from the cares and cares. With a flower lay hanging round my neck and my puka puka pants. The moon is shining on the sea, it's only kind of dark. I look at you, you look at me, and we feel the spark. Gonna stay the picnic type, never mind the ants. With my shirt tail flapping in the breeze and my puka puka, puka puka puka, puka 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 pants.
It's an earworm, right? Like that's, even if you've never heard it before, you will hear it again for the rest of the day.
And you're going to look up as many different versions of Puka Puka Pants as you can find.
Absolutely.
And you're going to play them over and over and over again until somebody kills you. And next up, we have another song that you're going to play just solo by itself.
Yes.
We did in group.
And I'm going to venture to say that this is a song you're also only going to listen to once. It's a great song.
It's a wonderful recording. Song. It's one of the best. It's a fantastic Cole Porter song.
Yeah, and it's from Out of This World. It's the song I Sleep Easier Now. And it's funny, I realized, I think I played a Cole Porter Out of This World song in our last covers show too, because I love that score, even though
Out of This World is a great score.
Yeah.
I mean, really good score.
There's a reason that it was one of the first encores to get recorded, because it's full of great songs. Mm-hmm. This though is a novelty for a different reason, because it's a singer, and we're going to hear a recording by Gypsy Rose Lee, not known for her talent, famously known for her no talent.
Probably, I mean, in some cases, I mean, she's one of the earliest examples of someone who was famous for being famous.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a personality who was known for being a personality who didn't really have any specific talent other than just who she was.
Well, her beauty.
Her, okay. if you want to go that direction, okay. I mean, she was a burlesque star. I mean, she was a stripper, sort of a classy stripper, and obviously the subject of the musical Gypsy,
and
sort of,
a,
even
a
though
writer.
That's highly fictionalized. But she was also a writer, and
right, including the book that Gypsy is based on, which is highly fictionalized.
Yes, highly fictionalized. But we're gonna hear Gypsy Rose Lee singing I Sleep Easier Now from the Cole Porter musical Out of This World.
Poets always speak of youth with such admiration, but we all must face the truth. Age has many a compensation. When I was younger, when I was younger, for nightlife I used to hunger. I sleep easier now. When I was cuter, when I was cuter, each night meant another suitor. I sleep easier now. In the olden days at 10 p.m. I'd be neckin' in a hack, but this evening when it's 10 p.m. you will find me hitting that sack. When I was snappier, when I was snappier, I made lots of boyfriends happier, but I sleep easier now. I sleep easier now. When I was greener, when I was greener, for late parties I was keener. I sleep easier now. When I was smaller, when I was smaller, I sure entertained a caller. I sleep easier now. In the olden days at 10 p.m. I'd be prancing every place, but this evening when it's 10 p.m. I'll be putting grease on my face. When I was racier, when I was racier, the nightgowns I wore were lacier. I sleep easier now. I sleep easier now. When I was thrilling, when I was thrilling, I said no, but I was willing. I sleep easier now. When I was hoping, when I was hoping, I left all the doors wide open. I sleep easier now. In the olden days at 10 p.m., I was giddy and so gay. I looked forward to an unpremeditated roll in the hay. When I was voluptuouser, when I was voluptuouser, The boyfriends I had were lustier. I sleep easier now. Oh, I sleep easier now.
And by the way, the album that that comes from is called That's Me All Over. And the cover is a photo of Gypsy in her bathtub, which, if you remember, is near the end of Act Two of the musical Gypsy. There's a whole scene about how that photo gets taken.
Oh. So
it was like a big aha moment for me when I pulled up that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay. So there you go. There's a little bit of trivia. So when you see Gypsy, you'll now associate it with having heard the song. And it may spoil that moment in the show for you. And next up, we are not going to hear Barbara Streisand.
No, but we're going to hear a couple of songs that we know because Barbara Streisand also recorded them.
Right.
So Barbara Streisand in the 60s, when she started to have a little money of herself, started putting money into other Broadway shows. She wanted to support, up-and-coming artists. And one of the ways, in addition to investing in those shows, she recorded songs from them on her albums. Those shows are by and large forgotten, but the songs are remembered because every song that Barbara has recorded is remembered. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to me to find that other singers have recorded these songs, and not just in the era either. So the first one, How Does the Wine Taste, which is from a show called We Take the Town, which was about, I was going to say about Sancho Panza, but that's not the right name.
Pancho Villa.
Thank you.
Yes. Close.
Oh, close. Boy. That was written by Matt Doobie and Harold Carr, who are better remembered for writing Happy Hunting.
Yeah.
This song, this recording is by Vicky Carr, no relation, spelled differently. Mm-hmm. And what's particularly interesting to me is that the album it's from is called Color Her Great. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's somehow a play on Color Her Barbara or Color Me Barbara. But no, it actually came several years before Color Me Barbara. Nor does she sing My Coloring Book on that album. So I think it was just coincidence.
It's a coincidence. Interesting. Interesting. And I love Vicky Carr.
Oh, she's so great.
She's such a good singer. God.
I think, people mostly remember her big pop hits, but she did a lot of this kind of material as well.
Yeah.
It's really worth looking at.
I have played Vicky Carr on the show many times doing stuff, and she's a fantastic singer. Just amazing. Yeah. And then who is she paired with here?
So here we're going back to the 80s, I believe. Just kidding. We're going to the 2000s. Wow. With Diane Reeves, who did start her career in the 80s, who is a jazz singer, a more straightforward jazz singer. And this song is from the musical The Yearling, and it's called I'm All Smiles. And she does a much jazzier version than Streisand does. It's from an album called Little Moonlight, which is full of show tunes that I think of as, if not all as obscure as this one, at least not standards either. So if you like this, if you like the way she sings, it's definitely worth checking that out.
So here are Vicky Carr and Diane Reeves singing some songs that you may know from Barbara Streisand.
How does the wine taste? Does it sting your lips? What is the fruit like? Just beyond my fingertips. Just out of reach, I see so much I cannot taste. I mustn't touch. Tied to my little world, nice safe little world. What would it be like if I broke the string? Would it be lovely? Is it good? Would it be lovely and a little frightening? How does the wine taste? Does it make you glow? How does the wine taste? I think I
don't you know that I'm all smiles, darling? You'd be too if you knew, darling, all of my smiles were for you. I'm all chills, darling, through and through. But my darling, warm to the touch of you. Rain hasn't fallen for days now, but rainbows are filling my skies. My heart must have painted those rainbows shining before my eyes. Can't you tell that I'm in love, darling, deep and true, with guess who, darling, someone to live for, beg, steal, and die for, eat humble pie for, fly to the sun and the moon and the sky for, someone to dance with, laugh with, and cry for, and that someone is you, baby, lay your bed. My cold hands, darling, warm to the touch of
you tell that I'm in love, darling, deep and true. With yes, who, darling, someone to live for, beg, steal, and die for, eat humble pie for, fly to the sun and the moon and the sky for, someone to dance with, laugh with, and cry for, and that someone is you. You, I'm all smile for you.
And next up, we have Pearlie Mae.
Yes. So I love me some Pearl Bailey. Some of you may know I also host a podcast called Muppeturgy, where we've been going through the Muppet Show episode by episode. So this is our second Muppet Show guest star of the episode, because Andy Williams also did an episode of the Muppet Show, although Pearl Bailey's episode much, much better. And this is a song from How Now, Dow Jones, but it's not Step to the Rear. And that's why I thought this was interesting, because I think when I think of How Now, Dow Jones and covers, I think, oh, well, everyone recorded Step to the Rear. Not everyone, but, you know, at least
that was the most popular song, I think.
Right. But this is a song called Walk Away, which is a first act ballad that sounds like an 11 o'clock number. And it's an interesting choice for Pearl Bailey, because we tend to think of Pearl mostly for her comedy numbers and her sort of, you know, off the cuff jokey riffing. But here's her doing a very serious, straightforward ballad, and I think doing it very well. And, you know, this is by Elmer Bernstein and Carolyn Lee.
So here is Pearlie Mae.
Walk away, walk away. Can't you tell that it's reveille blowing? Now you've turned me a loose, and you've no more excuses to stay. Oh, walk away, walk away. It's a great little dream you are growing, but the dreams of the night can outdistance the light of day. Nothing lost, nothing owing. It was bright, it was gay, it was glowing. It was mindless and heedless, and words that are needless to say. Oh, but tell me, honey, where was it going? Only one little slip and it's showing. You walked into my arms and let come willy-nilly. What may? Now come, little boy, let's see you, little boy, walk away. Only one little slip and it was showing. You walked into my arms and let come willy-nilly. What may? Now come through, little boy, let's see you, little boy, walk away. Try walking away. Let me see you walk away. Oh, walk away. Can you
And we are now up to our last set of songs. And what ties these all
these
together?
These are all songs about time. And I feel like we're a little bit bookending, because we started with Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
Now we're ending with three other songs about time. So the first one that I think is the most familiar to me of these three, although probably not the most familiar to a general audience. And we'll get to that in a second. But that's, I'm just taking my time from Subway Surfer Sleeping. If you've been listening to these cover shows for a while, you know that the McGuire sisters did a whole album covering Subway Surfer Sleeping. This is from that. It is just a fantastic song. I love it. I love their version of it. Again, this was one of the songs that they thought would be a hit. Judy Garland also recorded it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a hit because the show wasn't a hit. Although, again, the cast album show sounds like a hit.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a chance to see a production of it when the York did it at Musicals and Mufti, and I understand why it was a hit.
Yes.
So that's a Julie Steinem Common Green number, and again, performed by the McGuire sisters. That's going to be followed up by a song called Second Time in Love, by performed here by Margaret Whiting from the musical Shangri-La, which is an interesting musical for two reasons. One, it is based on Lost Horizon, which was a very, I think, famous and popular movie that was then also remade after Shangri-La as a disastrous and bad musical movie with Bacharach and David score that I love.
Of course.
It is bad, but I love it. I've never seen the movie. I only know the soundtrack. But what's also interesting about Shangri-La is it did not get a cast recording because it flopped pretty quickly. But about 6 years later, they did a TV version of it. So
yes, they did.
When does that ever happen that a flop show gets a full TV production?
Yeah.
So, you know, good on them. Anyway, it's interesting too that this is Harry Warren, who, you know, is best known for his songs from the Warner Brothers musicals of the 30s that then made their way into the musical 42nd Street. But here the lyricists are Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee, who I didn't know ever wrote lyrics. They are primarily playwrights and they wrote the book to the show. Mm-hmm. You know, they wrote
Mame. Mame. Yeah.
But you know, interesting to hear them take on lyrics, and the lyrics are fine.
Yeah.
You know, they're not a disaster. They're not, you know, right. They're not making Sondheim nervous.
No, they mean things rhyme, which is good. They're not clever or, you know, anything out of the ordinary, but they rhyme, which is a nice thing.
And then we're going to go out with what I think actually is the most well-known of these three songs. And here's why I think that. It's a song called All the Time from the musical Oh Captain, which was a failed Tony Randall vehicle written by Livingston and Evans, who are fantastic songwriters. But Oh Captain just was sort of, you know, not since Carrie, they described it as one of the last of the tired businessman musicals, where it was just about sort of like, you know, sort of light sexual hijinks and girls dancing and not much else. The story was about a captain who had, you know, like a girl in every port. But this song, we're going to hear Johnny Mathis's version, which was originally released as a single, but then got included on his first ever greatest hits album, Johnny's Greatest Hits in 1958, which is not only his first greatest hits album, but actually one of the first ever greatest hits albums. Because albums, remember, were sort of a new thing at the time. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of collecting songs that had already sort of been out there onto an LP and marketing it as a greatest hits was new. And it was a huge success for him. It held a record on the Billboard charts for the longest non-consecutive chart presence of 490 non-consecutive chart weeks, and it held that from whenever it hit it all the way until 1983, when it was overtaken by Pink Floyd. You know, again, like, this song not super familiar to me, but a lot of people had that Johnny Mathis greatest hits album, so a lot of people have heard this song a lot of times.
Right. Yeah, it did. It was like the first, it basically started the whole concept of greatest hits albums.
Yeah,
which ultimately, because I think at the time they didn't have a concept, one, of the greatest hits albums, and the greatest hits albums then became a staple of catalogs, of the catalog concept of record labels having a catalog, knowing that these greatest hits albums would sell perennially year after year after year. They could always sell these greatest hits albums because they would sell forever, of course. They still do. So we're going to hear the McGuire sisters, Margaret Whiting and Johnny Mathis.
Time. just taking my time. I'm just strolling along while the world's on the run.
The same old silly face that broke your silly heart before. The second time, you know the way to make it go. Forget yourself and let yourself be second in the show. The second time you find a face you really can adore. How nice when it's the face, the same old silly face that broke your silly heart before.
I
time. Sunrise and sunset and all the time. You are the one love I am living for. Had we just begun, love, could I love you more? Warm as the May wine, wild as the sea. These are the feelings you waken in me. I had my moments and a dream or two, but I needed someone all the time. And all the time it was you.
So there you have it. David has completed his first of covering the flops. He will be back soon with another edition. I know you're already working on your list.
Yes, I need to get back to the book that I have for a while.
That has always been fun and informative. Lots of wonderful, talented, lots of great performers this time.
Yeah, yeah.
And hid some hidden gems, which hopefully people will go look up. Everything was almost everything was available on Spotify, on the streaming services. I think the only one that wasn't was the Sammy Davis Jr. track.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's never been released on CD or digitally.
Yeah.
It was just a single that thankfully someone had recorded their 45 and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, we found it. We found it. So thank you, David, for, as always.
Thank you.
It's always wonderful to have you, and we will see you again very, very soon.
I hope so.